of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the time, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps
out. Good evening to everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9:30. Indeed, it's always a privilege to come your way, and we thank God for the gift of life. And, you know, let me just start off with this. This is an unscripted, but I don't know, but the Holy Spirit is just prompting me to address it briefly, so let me do so. And, you know, tomorrow is Father's Day, and fathers will be honored in various ways by their children and all that. But there's one category of people thing this message is for. There are people who, you know, for whatever reason, have issues with their fathers, bitterness, anger, and all over the years. So it's like over the years they don't even communicate, talk to their fathers, don't call them, nothing. But it's time to reconsider, because, you know, you may have a genuine case for not wanting to talk to your father for whatever, maybe abuses or neglect and all that. But we as Christians have to understand something, that the word of God is explicitly clear when it comes to forgiveness. And there's one thing which we shouldn't forget. Let me quickly just read the words of Jesus in this regard. Matthew 6, verse 14. If we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And 15 says, but if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if we decide to hold the grudges against our fathers and decide not to honor them, talk to them, whatever it is, for whatever reason, it's unforgiveness. It's based on unforgiveness, because you are holding on to something. And this is just a reminder and a caution that if you are in this category, please, please, please think about it critically, because unforgiveness is one of the most dangerous things that a believer can hold on to, because truth be said and truth be told, it's one surest way of taking you to hell. Because if you die in unforgiveness, you know, the word of God is clear. So far as you hold on to unforgiveness, you are also not being forgiven. So it's like, it doesn't matter how many prayers you are praying, you're repenting, confessing your sins and all. So far as you are holding on to unforgiveness, your heavenly Father also holds your forgiveness against you. this is the word of God, clear as it is. So let's reconsider our decisions and our reasons why we wouldn't want to talk to our fathers, we wouldn't want to forgive them, we wouldn't want to communicate with them, whatever reasons and all. It's time to reconsider such things and reflect about this thing that I've said this evening. I don't know who this is for, but I believe it's for someone out there. All right, so issues of life, and we'll be talking about the last few weeks. We are talking about building our faith for the times ahead. You know, you don't need to be a prophet. You don't need to be an economic guru, professor, scientific analyst in data, financial data analyst, and you don't need to be any of those things to be able to know the times we are in and to be able to foresee and predict the times ahead. It's pretty obvious. I mean, that the world is not heading in the right direction. So as believers, the word of God gives us advance notice regarding the times and how things will be like. Fortunately, we also have the gifts of God where, you know, the Holy Spirit also gives advance information to his children, showing them what is coming, what they should do and all. So building our faith in these times is not a bad thing to do at all. Actually, it's the most important thing we can work on ourselves, because things are really going to get bad. Things are bad, but the truth is things are going to get bad. I mean, the world economy is going to really go off really soon. I mean, this evening I was reading one report, financial report, and you know, US is just about getting into recession. I mean, they are expecting it, and it's just a matter of time. You see, and when they've increased the interest rates in US this week, and it's a huge issue. UK, they've increased, you know. So it's look at inflation numbers in Ghana now. By all means, this June one is going to cross into 30-something%. So you see, it's going to affect interest rates. Bank of Ghana will, you know. So it's pretty obvious where we are headed. We are headed. So we should be wise based on the word of God and know how to prepare ourselves ahead of time. So by the time we get to the real problem state, it's not now that we are preparing ourselves psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, and all. We'll be prepared ahead of time. Yes, non-believers, that one is their issue. But we as believers should know what to do at the right time. And as the Spirit leads, we talk about these things. So that's what we are preparing ourselves, building our faith towards, you know, the dry season. Let me put it that way. So we started, and this week we are continuing. But first, let me look at some of the news, things happening in the world, a few of them, and then we'll continue. But let me just read this interesting analysis that was on Prophecy News, and it really puts a lot of things in perspective. So let me just start off with it. The title is "The Sound of Revelations Approaching Hoof Beats." I mean, that's the horses, the hoofs of horses, hoof beats. So the sound of revelations approaching hoof beats. Those of us eagerly awaiting Jesus' appearing did not expect to see so many signs of the coming kingdom of the Antichrist before going home to be with our Savior. We never anticipated seeing so much vile wickedness and demonic deception before the rapture. And with such failed expectations, one might ask, why do I believe Jesus will soon appear to take us home? Why do I remain convinced that we live in the season of his return for his church? It's because the world is so very close to the fulfillment of Revelation 6:1-8. The scripture assures us that we will be with Jesus in heaven. But then these riders are beginning their deadly trek across the planet Earth. That's the four horses of the apocalypse, as it's called sometimes. So Can you guess who wrote the following? Quote, I've heard the distant sound of hoofbeats. I've seen the evil riders on the horizons of our lives. I'm still an evangelist whose one goal is to proclaim new life in Christ. But there is serious trouble ahead for our world, for all of us who will live in it. And in the four horsemen of the apocalypse, there is both a warning and a wisdom for those troubled days ahead, unquote. If these things were true back in 1983, when Billy Graham penned these words, how much more so today? How near must we be to Jesus' appearing? What sounds do we hear today that point to the nearness of the Lord opening the seal judgments of Revelation 6 and the clamor of the new world order on our doorstep, subheading? Revelation 6, 1 to 2 tells us about the first seal, the first rider. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Many, including me, believe these verses refer to the Antichrist bringing the world together under his rule. The absence of an arrow in the bow points to the absence of force, although he will gather an impressive arsenal of weapons during his campaign. The 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 8 assures us that the rapture will happen, but it says, The man of lawlessness makes his presence known to the world soon. Okay, soon, yeah. And then goes on to say that, however, we already see the formation of the coming new world order through the UN and the World Economic Forum. Without firing a shot, they have gained the allegiance of most world leaders for their Marxist plans to enslave the people of the world. The globalists no longer hide their intentions. President Biden recently asserted his allegiance to the New World Order. Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, recently asked 2,600 delegates to his annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, to work aggressively to bring about the communistic totalitarian agenda advocated by him as well as those in attendance. He opened the meeting by saying that the future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community, as you hear in this room. In other words, the globalists believe they have the means to reshape the world according to their agenda via the influence they have gained over the global leaders of our day. Can you hear the sound of the first horse getting ready to ride? Then the saber rattling of nuclear war, second subheading. The second rider is that of war, as John describes in Revelation 6, 4 to 5. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. I'm old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 1960s. I did not fully understand what was happening at the time, but I sensed the fear. At school, we had drills in which we would hide under our desks as if that would help in a nuclear conflict, unquote. Then it goes on to say that, I believe the threat today is at least equal to that time, if not far greater. But the mainstream media is diverting our attention away from the current and present danger to matters such as Pride Month and January 6th hearings. That's in the U.S., what's happening there now. Those who are truly awake today clearly see those looming threats to world peace. Russia repeatedly warns the West and the U.S. of a nuclear attack if they keep supporting Ukraine. However, the Biden administration seems to be doing all it can to provoke Putin into just such an attack by increasing the flow of weapons to Ukraine. Iran is on the brink of developing its first nuclear weapon, with many believing that Israel will attack Iran before that happens. China appears intent on attacking Taiwan and is threatening all-out war against anyone who interferes. President Biden says he would defend Taiwan, which would mean a war with China. North Korea has stepped up its testing of missiles during the past year and a half, demonstrating that it can hit North America with a nuclear bomb. When we put these threats together with the words of Revelation 6:8, that tell us war will play a part in killing a fourth of the world's population, it seems likely that perhaps one or more of these threats will happen. Do these dangers not beg the question regarding the nearness of rapture? Could the saber rattling of Russia, China, North Korea, and the sound of second horse getting ready to ride? Well, then the third sub says the voices predicting economic devastation by the end of 2022. The words of Revelation 6:5-6 points to economic devastation. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quarter of wheat for denarius, and three quarts of barley for denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine." And then goes on to say, if you think that the world is not on the brink of conditions described in these verses, you are not paying attention. We are frightfully close. In the U.S., the reported inflation rate for May was 8.6, which is the highest in 40 years. For most people, however, cost of living is accelerating much, much faster than that. President Biden recently assured us that his high rate inflation in the U.S. will continue for the foreseeable future. The voices of warning of devastating world food shortages by the end of 2022 are far too many to ignore. Goya Food CEO Bob Unanu recently told Fox News that the world is on the brink of a food crisis. Quote, "We are on the precipice of a global food crisis," unquote, he told Maria Bartiromo. And then JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon recently warned about the coming economic hurricane. He also added this, quote, "It's a hurricane right now. It's a kind of sunny, things are doing fine. Everyone thinks the federal government can handle this. That hurricane is right out there, down the road, coming our way. We just don't know if it's a minor one or a superstorm Sandy or Andrew or something like that. You better brace yourself," unquote. Rockefeller Foundation President Rajiv Shah described what is soon to unfold as a massive immediate, quote, "massive immediate food crisis that will strike the entire world, leaving no country untouched," unquote. That's a serious one. "I have lost count of many food processing plants that have gone up in flames during the past 12 months. Why are so many shepherds of our day ignoring the numerous warnings regarding the food catastrophe that's rapidly approaching? Do they not hear the sound of the approaching hoofbeats?" Then the final quote heading says, "The unheeded warnings of a global holocaust. The result of all these approaching horrors will be a death count higher than anything the world has seen since the Genesis 6 flood." Revelation 6:7-8 describes what the world will experience when Jesus opens the fourth seal. "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. In the name of him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beasts of the earth." Right now, one-fourth of the world population would be almost 2 billion people, and that's just at the beginning of the tribulation wars. Sorry. A nuclear conflict could possibly kill hundreds of millions, and this threat looms as this distinct possibility in the near future. It's also easy to see how the coming food crisis could kill a vast number of people. Africa would likely suffer the most at first, but as the contrived food crisis expands, Western nations will soon see the death toll skyrocket. Those pushing the U.S. Green New Deal, and UN's Agenda 2030 warn that we will feel pain as the world transitions away from fossil fuels. This most certainly will include mass starvation, as green energy will not suffice to meet the needs of the world's population. It cannot even come close. And that's a very good summary of where we are, what is coming ahead. Those who have ears, let them hear. Okay, so let's get into some news. So we start with Putin lambasts the West and declares the end of the era of unipolar world. So Russian President Vladimir Putin has declared the end of the era of the unipolar world in a combative speech that lambasted Western countries at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum on Friday. Quote, when they won the Cold War, the U.S. declared themselves God's own representatives on earth. People who have no responsibilities, only interest. They have declared those interests sacred. Now it's one-way traffic, which makes the world unstable, unquote, Putin told the audience. The much-hyped speech was delayed by more than 90 minutes because of massive cyber attack, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov told journalists in an impromptu conference call that the speech was postponed due to distributed denial of service DDoS attacks on the conference's systems. And it was not immediately clear who was behind the attack. Ukrainian IT Army, a hacker collective named the St. Petersburg Forum, as a target earlier this week on its Telegram channel. Then Putin's address at the annual conference, one of his more substantial speeches since he ordered the invasion of Ukraine almost 4 months ago, was seen as an opportunity for the world to get some insight into his thinking. Once the Russian leader took the stage in the Western Russian city, he wasted no time on the pleasantries and went straight into attacks on the U.S. and its allies. Quote, they live in the past on their own, under their own delusions. They think that they have won, and then everything else is a colony, a backyard, and the people living there are second-class citizens, unquote, he said, adding that Russia's special operation, the phrase the Russian government uses to describe its war on Ukraine, has become a lifesaver for the West to blame all the problems on Russia. After accusing Western countries of blaming their problems on Russia, Putin tried to pin the blame for rising food prices on the U.S. administration and the European bureaucracy. In essence, he's saying that enough, the world has come to the end of unipolar, that's U.S., you know, leading the whole thing. And that means he's pushing for Russia's comeback, so that the Cold War era, where it was the Soviets and then the U.S., that's what he's working on. Pope Francis says that the World War III gives arms dealers opportunity, and Ukraine invasion is a very complex situation. Pope Francis urged more nuance in discussions about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, insisting that people are too quick to create good guy, bad guy labels for a complex global situation that is tantamount to an ongoing World War III. Quote, a few years ago, it occurred to me to say that we are experiencing a third world war fought piecemeal, unquote, the Pope told editors of news outlet La Cavita Cattolica. Quote, today, for me, World War III has been declared, unquote. That's an interesting statement, but that's the truth. The Pope's wide-ranging conversation with the Cattolica editorial board, released on Tuesday, acknowledged atrocities in Ukraine, but the Pope cautioned that many people miss the whole drama unfolding behind this war. That's the real deal. It's true. What we are seeing is the brutality and the ferocity with which this war is being carried out by the troops, generally mercenaries used by the Russians, Pope Francis said. In reality, the Russians prefer to send forward Chechens, Syrians, and mercenaries. The Pope referred to the possibility that the war was either provoked or not prevented, and that there was interest in testing and selling weapons. Someone may say to me, at this point, but you are a pro-Putin. No, I'm not. The Pope insisted. It would be simplistic and erroneous to say such a thing. I'm simply against turning a complex situation into a distinction between good guys and bad guys without considering the roots and self-interest, which are very complex, he argued. What is happening to humanity that has had three world wars in a century, he added. I experienced the first war through the memory of my grandfather on the Piave River, then second, now third. And this is bad for humanity, a calamity. The Pope laid the blame on weapons manufacturers and arms dealers, whom he claimed were happy to see their products tested in conflict. What is before our eyes is a situation of world war, global interest, arms sales, geopolitical appropriation, which is martyring a heroic people. And indeed, what he's saying is very true, because the top U.S. arms manufacturing companies, their shares have all risen to the roof, lot of money, business is booming. You know, the U.S. keeps sending millions of missiles, millions of dollars worth of missiles to Ukraine, and it's all money. It's in the interest of the manufacturers, in the interest of the middlemen, in the interest of politicians behind the scenes getting their kickbacks from the sales made. You know, people are making money from this whole thing. So the longer the war, the better for them, because as the war drags on, bullets are used, bullets are manufactured, missiles are fired, missiles are replaced. You know, it's all. Afghanistan went on, dragged on for years. They made their millions, billions of dollars. When it ended, they had to create another one for the money to keep flowing. You know, until you understand how evil these people are, something of this world, it's a whole complex equation. Anyway, so the next one says, at least 100 killed in Burkina Faso massacre as militants go shop to shop killing men. I mean, something else in West Africa now. At least 100 people were reportedly killed by armed group in northern Burkina Faso near the Niger border over the weekend. That's last weekend. As extremist violence continues to plague the country that has seen thousands killed and millions flee from their homes in recent years. While the attackers appear to exclusively target men in the Saturday evening attack in the Seitanga district, there are conflicting reports on the death toll, which could be as high as 165, security sources told the Reuters. It's still not clear which group was responsible for the massacre. Al-Qaeda, Islamic State militants, are conducting an insurgency in the region. As many as 3,000 people fled to neighboring Dori, where aid agencies are located, a local official said. The terrorists came into town on Saturday, market day. One survivor who fled to Dori told AFP, they opened fire as soon as they entered. They only aimed at men. They went from shop to shop, sometimes touching it. They opened fire on anyone who tried to run away. They stayed in town all night, the survivor added. AFP reported the provisional death toll at around 79 on Tuesday after 29 more bodies were discovered. But booby traps and mines have hampered search efforts. The attack is said to be among the deadliest since the insurgency in Burkina began in 2016. The attack comes about a year after as many as 160 civilians were killed in an attack in the Yagga province of northeastern Burkina Faso. As of early May, the United Nations estimated that 2 million had fled homes since the insurgency began. Government spokesperson Lionel Bilgo told AFP that Monday's massacre was a retaliation for actions of the army, which caused bloodshed among the jihadist elements. The UN issued a statement condemning the attack, saying the perpetrators claimed many victims. The European Union also condemned the massacre and called for further investigation. Although Burkina Faso was once considered relatively peaceful, the UN reported that 50% rise in internal displacement in 2021 is the highest proportions of internal displacement on the continent. The rise of insecurity led to protests and a military coup ousting President Roch Kabore in January. The demonstrations came as nearly 12,000 people were displaced in the West African nation in just 2 weeks in December, according to the UN. Coup leader Paul Henri Damiba was sworn in as president in February, vowing to defeat Islamic extremists. And the Release International warned in its persecution trends in 2022 reports that the situation facing Christians in Burkina Faso is now similar to Nigeria, where terror groups like Boko Haram and Islamic State West Africa province have killed thousands and displaced millions. According to the report, jihadists forced churches to close and meet in secret. The group warned that violence in the region could continue in 2022, noting the drawback of French troops from the area. Open Doors USA, which monitors persecution in over 60 countries, ranks Burkina Faso as 32nd worst country regarding Christian persecution. The central government is very weak, particularly in the east of the country, where Islamic law is informally implemented by groups who have gained control over these areas. Open Doors warned in a fact sheet, quote, jihadist violence has been rapidly increasing in recent years, and extremists have exploited the government's weakness during the COVID-19 crisis to gain control of the country's infrastructure, unquote. Jihadi violence has also impacted neighboring Sahel countries like Niger and Mali. According to government figures, in May 2021, at least 137 people, including nearly 24 children, were killed by insurgents along the Mali border in southwestern Niger. And I think yesterday I saw a news, Togolese border, community close to Ghana's border, north there. Yesterday there was under attack there. No, so, I mean, this area is just not too safe. West Africa is. So that's why the caution to Ghana, we really have to step up in our prayer as believers. I mean, that's the least we can do, and apply wisdom. Churches have to really, really know what to do. Especially, I believe newcomers especially should be, you know, look at in a bit of more seriousness. If searching bags and all would be important, because for your existing church members, they are coming to church, but it's new faces, newcomers, that's where the issue can be. So, you know, churches have to do what has to be done, as well as depend on God as well. But, you know, you also have to do the fiscal stuff that should be done. Okay, so the next one, police in India charge assault, and then charge pastor for family devotional. I mean, this is so, India's Christians is something else. This year has really been rough for them. Nearly 2 months after police arrested a pastor in India from his grandmother's home, tied him to a tree and beat him, threats from officers and others have kept him from filing a complaint on the brutality, according to sources. Pastor Pravesh Kumar of Amarhua, Uttar Pradesh state, was visiting a sick uncle at his grandmother's house in nearby Bai's school village on April 22nd, when police arrested him after a Hindu neighbor videotaped them singing during a family devotional on the roof. He said the neighbor has sent the video clip to police after recording it from the adjoining rooftop. Pastor Kumar said officers immediately arrived and questioned him about the purpose of the visit and about their singing. When he explained that they were singing hymns, police told him they were arresting him on suspicion of forcible conversion, because hymns were part of the converting people, or was part of converting people, he said. They completely ignored the fact that the family we were visiting were all followers of Christ, Pastor Kumar said. Officers took the 26-year-old pastor to Bijauli police outpost at around 8 p.m., tied him face forward to a tree, and physically assaulted him as they reviled him in coarse language. He said, I was beaten so brutally on my legs that they swelled up and I was not able to walk. Pastor Akuma told Morning Star News, I was limping. His 55-year-old uncle arrived, noticed he was limping, and entreated the police to stop the assault. He said, the police demanded 20,000 to 25,000 rupees, that's around $256 to $320, to release him. And because Pastor Kuma told them that he had no money and committed no crime, they said they would send him to the Bada police station. He said, Pastor Kuma and his uncle were transported to the Bada police station, where an officer asked about his limp and scolded the officers for hitting him in his body parts that bore readily visible marks. The officer demanded a leather strap and told the junior policeman, I will show you what body parts you should target when assaulting a person, and then lashed the pastor 30 to 40 times and also beat his ankle, according to the pastor. As he struck Pastor Kuma, the officer demanded that he should shout slogans about hailing Hindu gods and goddesses, and the pastor refused, and he was further beaten. When one of the junior police officers or policemen asked the officer if they should let the pastor's uncle go, he refused, saying that they should fabricate a report that the pastor and his uncle had fought each other, and he ordered the officers to beat the uncle. Word spread of them being beaten in custody, and the Christian leaders from Uttar Pradesh and Delhi called the police to inquire about the arrest. When my well-wishers and concerned Christians called the police station, the officer came and told me that he received a call and beat me all the more, accusing me of having a big group of supporters, Pastor Kuma told Morning Star News. As the officers kicked and struck Pastor Kuma and his uncle with police batons and leather straps, the police continued to revile them with coarse language, he said. The two Christians sustained several internal and external injuries. The pastor was beaten on all major joints, including his wrist, his knees, with a ruptured nerve on the wrist that turned black, he said. Police registered a complaint against them under the Indian Penal Code for five or more assembling and disturbing public peace, abetment, and abetting commission of offense. And they appeared before the subdivisional magistrate court in Lanjang, and after a medical examination in the evening of the next day, they were released on bail. And this is what people are enduring just to keep going as Christians. And we have it all easy and rosy here, but unfortunately, we are not making good use of it that much. And then this news is very disappointing, but not surprising. Biden, as the U.S. president, his administration, Biden admin holding school lunch money hostage to force transgender policies, activist parents warns. So the Biden administration is using lunch money to hold school districts hostage, the head of the conservative advocacy group said in response to the Department of Agriculture's announcement that it would require certain schools to allow trans or transgender students to use the bathroom of their preferred gender. Schools awarded money from the Food and Nutrition Services, NFS, an agency within the USDA, must specify in their policies that discrimination based on gender identity and sexual orientation is prohibited, the department announced in May. It also said allegations of such discrimination must be investigated. So, quote, what you are seeing here is really the Biden administration saying you are going to do what I want, or I'm going to take your lunch money away. Fight for Schools Executive Director Ian Pryor told Fox News, for the federal government to come in and really tie school nutrition and school lunch programs to this radical ideology is terrifying and is appalling, unquote. And FNS administers several nutrition-related programs, including WIC and Supplementary Nutrition Assistance Program. And it also runs the National School Lunch Program, which provides free or low-cost lunches for children and on average fed about 30 million kids per day prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. The announcement essentially amounts to the Biden administration holding states and school districts hostage with school lunch money that goes into underprivileged youth in order to pass transgender non-discrimination policies, prior told Fox News. The USDA said its announcement is part of President Biden's executive order extending the Title IX to include discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Quote, children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports, unquote, the order states. Pryor told Fox News, quote, I honestly have no idea how providing food to children in schools is somehow connected to the transgender policies. What we see here is the Biden admin using children as pawns in the social system, the social justice, gender ideology game that they are playing on, quote. And this is fascinating. I mean, it's just like, let's look at Ghana's own plan, the school feeding program. Then you say that if a school doesn't allow the transgender students to make a choice of their own, to whichever bathroom they want to use, you know, give the children in that school food. I mean, why would you even want to think along that line? But this is what is happening. I mean, of all countries like the USA, I mean, it tells you how the system is so broken morally from the administration downwards, where they are pushing these policies. As for the LGBT thing, they are pushing it at all costs in ways which, this is just one clear example. To tie food, feeding children, is it the decision of the children in the first place? So what? Why should they be punished? You see, so knowing that it will be a difficult choice for heads of schools and the districts and all that, they will have to give in, because most of these things are in public schools in the poor communities. So it's like their lives depend on it. So it's like you can't look on for the children to go hungry in the name of stopping transgender, a certain boy, girl who has decided John to Jane, says now want to use the ladies or girls washroom. Just because of that, to hold hostage maybe 600 children in a school from getting their lunch. You know, so this is the world. This is the new world we are in. And the next one is another warning to parents, the last news item. Disney's Lightyear. No, Lightyear is the it's a new series, I think it's the fourth one, Disney Pixar film. And I spoke about it earlier, but this week is in the news again because Disney's Lightyear banned in Malaysia and Muslim countries over same-sex kissing scene. You know, it's one thing that you can trust the Muslim countries for. They stand their ground on their morality. I mean, they don't joke with it. But, you know, very few Christian leaders are making noise about this. You know, as if as for Christians, we there like anything goes, meaning when I make a type of thing. It's like they see, they don't see, they hear, they don't hear. No, but, you know, if something is bad, it's bad. Now, pastors are afraid of, you know, this cancel culture. So it's like if you go and say it and, you know, you be targeted, social media attacks and all. So it's like quiets everybody in this little corner. But it's time the church rose up to resist some of these things openly. Make noise. At least tell your church members not to go and watch these movies. At least that one. I mean, say it, but we don't see it. So Malaysia and other Muslim countries have banned Lightyear from playing in theaters after Disney refused to cut the same-sex kissing scene from the animated film. The Disney Pixar film was released in theaters on June 17th. So Malaysia's Film Censorship Board said it approved the movie with parental guidance for those under 13 on the condition of modifications. Scenes and dialogues that it found to contain elements promoting LGBT lifestyle, which violates key aspects of guidelines on the film censorship, were ordered to be cut out and muted. However, the film distributors did not agree to comply with the instructions and decided instead to cancel the screening. The board said, adding, it would not compromise on any LGBT scenes, LGBT kill scenes. The statement did not specify which scenes violated censorship guidelines. Authorities across much of the Muslim world have barred Lightyear from being played at cinemas because it includes a brief kiss between a lesbian couple. Many Muslims consider gay and lesbian behavior sinful, and many Muslim majority nations criminalize same-sex relationships. The United Arab Emirates also announced it will ban the Pixar animated feature from showing in movie theaters because of the kiss. The same-sex kiss occurs in the first 30 minutes of the movie, and the moment occurs when or between the character Alicia Hawthorne and her partner. The scene has received criticism in the United States as well. Lightyear star Chris Evans called people in the U.S. criticizing the scene as idiots in a recent interview. No, look at the arrogance too. I mean, if you speak, the insults, you know. But that's it. It's just a matter of time. This movie will be showing on our screens. It's just a matter of time. It's a new one that has come out, so, you know, it will take a time, but it will not be long. Our TV stations will get it, and they will start showing it in Ghana, and it will not be edited. I can assure you, I can guarantee you that it will not be edited, and they will show it on our screens. And how many parents even know about it? So, innocently, your children will be switching on the TV, watching our normal TV channels. Yeah, oh, cartoon is animated, film is nice, oh, Disney. And they'll be watching it, and then a few seconds of this case will come. And, you know the impact. Subliminal messaging. Very, very strong, very important. That's what they know. They know the impact of, if it's just 30 seconds, they know what it will do to those, the children who watch it. It's a seed that will be planted in them. And for Christians who should understand things better of spirituality and demonic issues and all, you know, people just watch one thing and then they get demonized. Demons can influence them. They get, and they fall into addictive lifestyles after watching something, just something on TV or in a movie. And now they get hooked to it. You see, so it's on purpose that they put these things in the movies. So when we warn about it, that parents should guard their children from watching these Disney things and all, it's not that we are being extremists, no. It's for the sake of the children, protecting them. The devil is all out. He knows the game he's playing, all out. He's playing it from all angles. Unfortunately, Christians, you know, sometimes, yeah, but we, as if we don't care, we lack knowledge in a lot of these things, we are not interested in knowing, and so our lack of knowledge becomes a disincentive and disadvantage because we don't know, we just allow anything in our homes, and the devil is taking full control. You see, so let's be very careful about these movies that we allow our children to watch. Program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this short break.
Look up, yeah. These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist gives
for deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up your redemption journey. Where he chose me, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. And you will know, and you believe all he says. Look up, your redemption draws near.
indeed, God is in control. You know, this is one statement you should never forget. No matter how the situation in the world turns and all, God is in control. You know, there's this verse this week that a pastor friend sent to me. It's just lovely. You know, sometimes you read the Bible, but you see a verse and this is the first time you are seeing it. That's the beauty of the word of God. Psalm 33, let me read verse 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. And the 19 is the interesting one. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You know, so God knows how to keep his own. But you know, when it comes to the book of Psalms, you see the preamble will be the condition. So, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and then upon them that hope in his mercy. So you should be fearing God, you should then hope in his mercy. Then see, there's a semicolon. Then to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So there's always a condition. So when you are living within those conditions precedent, then you can, by faith, activate by prayer and all the promise that goes with it. And that's why it's important to build. Let's build our faith in these seasons. Now is the time to build our faith. Now that the conditions are a bit, it's still not normal. We can't use the word, but compared to what is ahead, let me be excused to use the word normal. So we are in the normal times ahead of the very super abnormal times coming. But now that things are normal is when we can conveniently build our faith ahead of, you know, the dry season coming. So we've been talking about it, building our faith. We spoke about, you know, God providing for them in the wilderness last 2 weeks. Last week I was talking about Elijah, the woman of Zarephath, Elijah first being provided for by the ravens, you know, morning, evening, bread and meat. So God's provision. But then this evening we are continuing. We are going to 2 Kings chapter 7. And you know, these past few weeks we've been doing a lot of Bible reading, because the word of God is the foundation of our faith in the first place. And I said we should be reading these things, you know, the works of God, the miracles of God, you know, to help us, you know. Let's be reading them. You know, we shouldn't just read the word of God as story or just as history, but let's read them in the context of we believing the possibilities of these things being applied and being implemented in our lives and in our time. So you are building your faith reading it. God did this for them at that time, and you believe that he can do it in your time. So the more you read, the more you believe in God. And that's one good reason why we should be reading the works of God as we build our faith. So it's quite a popular scripture, but let's read 2 Kings 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria." And then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered. And you know, the preamble to this whole thing is there had been a serious famine, they'd been besieged and all that. So they couldn't get food. You know, farmers couldn't go out to farm and all. So it's like no supplies coming in. Supply chain has been broken, and all that they had ran out. So that's the issue. So it's a precarious situation that they found themselves in. So just as they were in this situation, so you have Elisha saying this, giving this prophecy that is going to happen. Verse 2, then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might these things be? This thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here still, we will die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the hosts of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. You know, this one, all die be die. Whichever way, they are going to die. So they just take the hard option and then get on. So they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Interesting. Apparently, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was and fled for life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. Yeah, that one there. First things first. They have to refresh their souls first. And carried things, silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried this also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called upon the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but the horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters and told it to the king's house within. So the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, or we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and then get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, there are even us all the multitude of Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. So they took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, in which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gates. And the people trod upon him in the gates, and he died. And the man of God, as the man of God had said, whose pick when the king came down to him. So it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out upon him, unto him. For the people trod upon him in the gates, and he died. Very interesting passage. No, but there are a few lessons that we can glean on from these things. In the midst of the situation that they found themselves, God provided in his own way. I mean, this one, it was just divine provision. There's no food. You've been held hostage because of the war. Supply chain has been cut. And then from nowhere, suddenly, food is available. You know, when you see and you read such a thing, you think, oh, well, it happened in the Old Testament. But then God is still making provisions, strangely, to people, even now in our time. God is still providing divinely. I believe if you are to open phone lines, you have several people who have had God provide for them in miraculous ways, unexpected ways, in various things, food, money, having a solution to a family issue, a problem, and all. So we shouldn't limit God to only the God of the Old Testament who did wonders, miracles, and all that. He's the same. He hasn't changed. So if he was able to divinely provide for these people in the midst of the Syrian hostage and siege and all that, fast forward to our times where the world economy is, you know, just being held hostage by the situations happening in the world, the war and the aftermath, the COVID and aftermath, and then the war and all these things, food crisis, very expensive, and eventually running out and all. We would need the provision of God. But the reason why it's important to understand that if God was able to provide divinely, based on the word of God of his prophets, he was able to act. Because it's only God who did this. I mean, the main miracle, we find it in verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. So God created this noise. Angels, whatever, created the noise. So they heard it. It's like, and I'm sure it was amplified to high levels of decibels, that it's like almost being, they had as close as anything to the camp. So they just had to, you know, it's only God who can do this. It's only God who can amplify. I mean, first, the noise even doesn't exist. So creates a noise which doesn't exist and amplify it to the point where it's so real and so close that it will cause the enemy to run away. It's only God. It's only God. You know, when situations are so bad, yes, there's no food in the land. They didn't have food. But there was food somewhere. You know, we are getting to the point where the crisis that the world is headed, the food issues and all, yes, it's going to happen. But in the midst of the scarcity, there will still be food somewhere. But it will take divine provision to connect you to where there's food. And that's exactly what happened in this situation. They didn't have food in the city. besieged, I mean, because of war. But then there was food outside the city, in the camp of the Syrians. They had enough food there to the point where they could, I mean, when it happened, the food, the price was normalized or even cheaper. So in the midst of the scarcity, there will still be food somewhere that God can divinely connect you to and provide. Not only food, any other thing, whatever the need arises. But we should understand that we serve a God who is able to divinely connect us to things that we need at the right time. That's exactly what God did for them. You see, let's build our faith along these lines that God did this for these people and he can do it for you. You know, the conditions are there. I mean, we have to be living right. We have to be doing right. Our lives should be pleasing to him to the point where when we call on him, he would hear us. I mean, those are the basic fundamentals to God's provisions. You know, because we cannot just live careless lives, sinful lives, I mean, no purity, nothing. We just live just like the world. And then when we are in crisis before, we quickly run to God. No, I mean, it doesn't work that way. Let's live right. Let's really align ourselves. You see, so we are in a season where we should put a house in order spiritually. We should get things done properly. Let's correct things in our lives which are not pleasing to God. Habits which are an affront to our faith, drawing us back. Let's get rid of these things. Let's align ourselves to the word of God. No, let's position ourselves in the ways that please him and him alone. You see, so it's important in building your faith. It goes along with other conditions that should be worked on. Because you just can't say you have built your faith, you have faith, you believe in God, and yet your life is nothing to write home about as a Christian. I mean, it doesn't work that way. It should go hand in hand with your lifestyle. So we can't say we are building our faith, trusting in God and all that, yet our lifestyle is worse than an unbeliever. It doesn't connect that way. So we should get things right. In building our faith, let's align ourselves to the word of God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in us things that we need him to help us to overcome and all, to correct things. It's so, so important. Because, you know, there's no enjoyment or there's no fun in like sharing these warnings of things coming and all. It's not something that I really it's worrying myself, because it bothers me. I mean, when I read the reports and all, it's really, really worrying when you see the real data, the science, scientific data, the research works, and what is happening in the Western. This week I read one report, you know, in Europe, factories are beginning to close down because of the lack of, you know, energy because of the war. Russia is shutting some of the pipes and all, so it's affecting production. You know, fuel is very expensive now, so some factories that depend solely on these things, they can't be competitive with their compatriots or competitors in Asia and Americas and all. So businesses, factories are beginning to shut down in Europe. People are beginning to lose jobs. Cost of living is going up. You know, and when you see these things in developed countries, systems, where systems work, you know, we know. As for our case, yeah, we can't talk about it. But when you see things like this happening in Germany and, you know, all these developed systems, then you can imagine what will happen when the effect reaches on our continent. I mean, we know our home case. We know in Miasemdeda, so that one, we'll talk about it. But that's how serious it is, because the fact is, they are even pushing again the globalists, the EU leaders, to you know, Russia is still selling crude to China and India. I mean, and China and India alone are about a third of the world's population. So they don't care. Right? They are still buying it because they've got cheap fuel that they are still buying. And the Europeans are still angry that Russia is able to still sell. So they now want to, you know, all crude ships in the world, ships that carry crude oil, are insured in Europe. And naturally, there's mainly in London. I mean, that's where the main insurers for crude. So they want to now cut off insurance for crude for all Russian ships, carrying ships, so that they cannot even carry crude to any of the countries buying again. And Russia says, fine, they will still back it with their insurance and all. But, you know, they are making such a, like, they won't allow them to pass through the Suez Canal. I mean, they just want to stop. But then the reports were saying that these actions are going to push prices worldwide extremely expensive. Very high levels. They don't care. They see, the globalists don't care about you and I. No, 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 no. They want an agenda. They want the world to stop using fossil fuels, petrol, diesel, as we know. They want to stop it. They want us to stop using it. And all of us to use electric cars, which makes no sense. It makes no sense in the first place. But that's the agenda. So they are happy in the high cost of fuel worldwide. They are extremely happy. Yes, I mean, Joe Biden and all, they've made statements to that effect. They are happy it's happening. So they even wish that it will go higher so that more people will park their cars and stop using cars. And ultimately, you know, they just want to push the world economy into an abyss. I mean, so they know what they are doing. So intentionally, they are tightening the knobs to the point where crude and fuel is going to be extremely expensive. So we've not seen anything. We are going to witness extremely high cost of fuel worldwide. It's happening. They are going to still push it further and further and further. So the ripple effects will run through the world economy. It's going to. So that's why, you know, these things I'm telling you, it's like it's going to happen. It's obviously coming. So that's why it's important we know how to maneuver our way spiritually. Because physically, you and I, we can't stop them. We can't say we are going to stop them from doing what they are doing. No, we can't. But there is a God that we can still rely on. And there's a God who still provides. And there's a God who still guides and all, who still hears prayers. So as believers, we are not bothered about the actions that these globalists are taking. We are rather, it's time to focus on the God that we serve. So they can do their worst. They can do whatever they want. But we should be focused on the God that we serve. And I believe as we align our thinking and focus on God, it doesn't matter the storms. It doesn't matter what they are going to do. You know, one of the listeners, I believe he's listening, Isaac in Cape Coast, he's a dreamer. He sends, the Lord shows him things coming ahead of time. Once, I think he sent me one, that was a month ago. I was in Accra then, morning at a program. And then what the Lord showed him, so that morning, what the Lord showed him, let me just read it. Yeah, I think I saw it. Where is it? Minutes, you are on Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben, and okay, I've seen it. So let me read just a short message. Oh, I saw it and it vanished again. Interesting. Wow. Message doesn't want to be read, but in a sense, what he saw, like he saw the price of fuel. Diesel was being sold 21 cedis, petrol 20 cedis. You know, so when I saw it, I just knew it will not be long, we are going to get there. So when, you know, the prices are going up this week, gone now, you know, it's, we've not reached anywhere. That's the truth. The Lord is showing his children what is coming. You know, so we've not reached anywhere. We are going into, the system is, the globalists are pushing the system to the point where they want to really make life extremely unbearable. Oh, yes. They know what they are doing. But you see, it's aligned with the word of God. So, I mean, they think they are doing their worst, but it's also fulfilling scripture. You know, all these things will be fulfilled as the word of God says. So, that's exactly what is coming, and that's what is happening. That's why we should be assured, and we should not fear. We should know the God we believe in. We should build our faith and trust in the Lord. That's the ultimate thing, because all that is happening is beyond any government's ability to fix. That's the truth. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's beyond our government to fix it, because these are beyond their controls. Yes, it's beyond their controls. So, as believers, we have a different government system we can fall on. That's the kingdom of God. I mean, God's government. So, let's align ourselves well, as I said earlier, and let's establish our relationship with him stronger and more firmly. And I believe he will take us through the times ahead. So, yeah, I think if I have any messages... He has forwarded it to me again, Isaac. Yes, I had a dream today. I'm reading exactly what he sent me last month. So he forwarded it again right now. I had a dream today, and the fuel prices that I saw were record high value. The petrol price was 20 cedis per liter. Diesel price was 21 cedis per liter. May God help us and have mercy on our country. So that's what Isaac sent me. And you know, that's the reality of the warnings God is giving his children, so that we know how to do things. We know how to live. We know how to prepare and all that. So I believe these things are not to scare you. These things are meant to help you to understand why we should build our faith. Help us to know why we should build our faith. Because we are going to get to situations where it's like, I mean, it's only God. That's the reality. It will be only God. Yes, that's where we are headed. It will be only God. So, see, we shouldn't wait till we get to that point before now. You are now going to learn how to call on God. No. Let's start building ourselves, correcting ourselves. I mean, let's start doing what we have to do now. As I said, quote and unquote, now that we have normal conditions. Of course, I know it's not normal, but let's, in the context of this discussion, now that we have normal conditions, now is the best time to grow, start growing ourselves spiritually, build our faith, strengthen ourselves in the Lord, getting deeper into the word in prayer and all. And I believe God himself will see us through. So this is Eben and program Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. The recording will be on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. And you can listen if you've missed the previous editions on building your faith. You can get it. I think this will be the fourth edition. Let's build our faith. Let's listen to these things to sharpen ourselves. I believe it's important. There's a reason why God is allowing me to be talking about these things at this critical times, because he knows the times and the seasons. So when he says we should do something, we just do it as it is. Because, you know, when the season changes, you know, we have to align ourselves to the seasons of God. That's the most important thing. So the season, as for the season, it has changed. I mean, I started saying it right from the beginning of the year that this year is something else. But God will see us through. All right, so good night and God bless you. Let's finish with this song, El Shaddai by Amy Grant. Mm-hmm.
Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you save the soul.